This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
So here is the title of the message and what I would like to speak to you about today. We are titling this message, God's Loving Kindness. Now, having said that, my question obviously to you would be, is what is God's loving kindness to you? What does it mean to you? And what does it look like in your life? How do you experience it? How do you enjoy it? How do you tap into it? How do you experience it in your life? When we look at loving kindness, obviously it's two words that make up one new word, loving and kindness. So yes, it is the result of God being kind to us because he loves us. But today I want to show you just how much more that word actually means and what it looks like in a believer's life, what it looks like in a person's life who trusts God, who believes in God, who puts their confidence in God. And I believe that today the wonderful Holy Spirit wants to remind you through this word just about his loving kindness, about the loving kindness of God. And so let's begin by reading from Psalm 36. We're going to read verses 7 and 8 from the New King James translation this morning. Watch what it says. The psalmist writes, and it's David, by the way, King David. And he writes and he says, how precious. One translation says, how excellent. Another translation says, how valuable is your loving kindness, O God. In other words, what the psalmist is conveying with that first statement is that he has tremendous value for God's loving kindness. I wonder, do we feel the same way about his loving kindness? Do we say, how valuable, how excellent, how precious is your loving kindness towards me? Then he says, and he explains why he sees it so valuable. He says, therefore, in other words, because we see it as valuable, because I see it as precious, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. So in those last statements, he qualifies and he gives us a glimpse, an idea as to why he values the loving kindness of God so much. And we're going to discuss that in a little more detail in a moment. But it's a pretty powerful statement that King David makes over there. I mean, it is so clear that he treasured the loving kindness of God. And if you look at it on the surface, just as we read it, it's not hard to see why. It is because he found protection in the loving kindness of God. He found provision in the loving kindness of God. He found satisfaction and fulfillment in the loving kindness of God. I wonder today if you feel the same way about the loving kindness of God. Maybe you don't voice it that way, but you may just feel that way. And if for any reason you've doubted it, I believe that today, at the end of today, you will feel the way David felt. Now, it's interesting when we look at that word loving kindness. In the original Hebrew that was written in, it's a very interesting word that the psalmist used. It's the word chesed, and I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Chesed, something like that. And do you know that word chesed is the closest Hebrew match that you can find for the word charis in the Greek, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant? And charis, as you know, is the word for grace. Whenever you see grace, it's the original Greek word charis. And so when you see the Hebrew word chesed, you are talking about the grace of God. So they translated it in most translations, the New King James, most direct translations in this case translated the word chesed as loving kindness. And part of the reason is because in the old covenant, they were not as familiar with the grace of God as we are. And so this is the best way they could convey it. And it's not incorrect, because the grace of God is also God's loving kindness. So really and truly, when David said, "How precious, how excellent, how valuable is your grace, O God," it wouldn't be wrong to say it that way, because that's exactly what that word means. So his loving kindness is his grace. What is grace? God's unmerited favor. You cannot earn it, you cannot deserve it, but God gives it to you anyway because he loves you, because of who he is. Amen. And so this is what the psalm is. This is what David is conveying. That is why he felt the way he felt. And he said what he said. Because you and I who understand the grace of God in our time, we value the grace of God, don't we? I know that I, for one, I am so glad God shared with me the revelation of true new covenant grace. Before that, I saw it as a subject. I saw it as a topic. I saw it as another chapter in the Christian book. But since then, I've come to realize that grace is the very person of Jesus. Grace is the gospel. Paul called it the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. And so grace is much more than just a subject, a topic. And this is why David said, "How I treasure it, how I value it." And then he shows us what his grace, his loving kindness, his chesed does for us. And it's so true. And so it's a term that is closely related to the word grace in the Bible. It's powerful. And if you have time and if you'd like to, I want to encourage you, go and study it for yourself and you will find exactly what I found and more, I'm sure. So loving kindness, here in Psalm 36 verse 7, what it also means is God's loyal, unfailing, merciful love. In other words, he extends his blessing and favor because he is loyal, he is unfailing, and he loves us with all his mercy because of his mercy. It's a pretty powerful, loaded term. But in essence, it basically conveys the grace of God. And it's awesome. And so we have to ask the question, why does God then make his loving kindness available to us? Why does he make it known to us? Why does he want you to know that he has loving kindness towards you? Why does he want me to know that he has loving kindness towards me? It's because he wants me to live in it. It's because he knows that I need it. Don't you need God's loving kindness? I mean, imagine if we were still relating to God by the old covenant law. We would be in trouble, just like the people then were. I mean, in our modern day, people who think that we still need to live and relate to God by law, they try and make it manageable. They try and make it, you know, well, yes, we submit to the moral law, but not the ritual, not this. No, God doesn't do that in the Bible. It's all or nothing, James says, right? But God wants us to know that he has loving kindness toward us, that his loving kindness is for us. And the reason for that is because he knows that we need it. I need God's loving kindness always, don't you? And I mean, David realized that, and that's why he said, "It is so valuable to me because I need it so. I realize that I need it so." Amen. And so our need, I'm not even going to say needs, but overall, our need is great. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, without Jesus, without God, we would be lost on our way to damnation. We would live a miserable life. Our need is great, but God's loving kindness is greater. And David revealed it to us in that short portion in Psalms. He said, I value it, and here's why. And he brings these heavy-duty, life-changing, life-altering attributes as far as what the grace of God does for us. Amen. So whatever your need is, whatever you may be facing today, know this, that God's loving kindness is greater. Amen. And so that's why God makes it available to us. That's why he makes it known to us, because he knows that we need it. Praise God. And so, you know, when you think about kindness, kindness is one thing. Sometimes people can be kind to you as long as you're good, as long as they like you, as long as you measure up. But the moment you fall off the standard that they have set for you, then that kindness is no longer extended to you. Or if they begin to hold a grudge towards you, or you do something intentionally or unintentionally that offends them, then you fall out of favor with them and they're no longer kind to you. You see, God's kindness, God's loving kindness is not like that. Amen. You know, when you think about the word chesed, now remember, that's the word loving kindness, which is the word for grace in the Hebrew. So I'm going to use chesed a lot. But when I say that, think of loving kindness too. Okay. But chesed talks about God's faithful love, rooted in his character and in his promises. It's a really loaded word. And so here's what chesed is not. It is not conditional on our worthiness. It is not conditional on our merit or our performance. We cannot earn it. We cannot deserve it. It is purely based on God's goodness, on God's character, and on God's promises and his faithfulness to fulfill those promises. Are you with me today? So don't ever see chesed as something that you qualify for, because you don't. It is purely given out of love. It's unconditional. And that's the reason, another reason why King David treasured it so much. You see, David knew that God's chesed was unchanging, unlike human kindness. So what did it do for him knowing that? It always made him feel secure. Amen. Remember, he said, under your wing. In other words, he always felt secure because he knew that he had God's loving kindness. So this is one of the ways. I'm going to give you five today. But that's the first way that you know that you live in the loving kindness of God. That you live, that you have a revelation of God's loving kindness. That is that you feel secure in God. You feel secure in who you are in Jesus. That means that you have a revelation of his loving kindness. Secondly, David understood that God's chesed was bound to his covenant promises, and therefore he would always fulfill them. So what did that do for him? Well, it made him feel confident. And he made the statement where he says, I know that I will find everything that I need in you. He had confidence in God's loving kindness. He knew that he would be protected, provided, satisfied, fulfilled. Amen. Why? Because he knew, he felt confident in the loving kindness of God. In other words, no matter what was going on around him, no matter how people treated him, he was confident that God was with him and he was for him. That's the second way we know that we live in and experience and live by the loving kindness of God. Thirdly, to David, God's chesed provided him with protection. So what did that do? It made him feel safe. Don't you feel safe when you are protected? When you get into a situation or circumstance where it is protecting you, you feel protected. Just to remind us, look at this in Psalm 36:7. We read this. He says, therefore the children of men put their trust, watch this, under the shadow of your wings. And that's because of the loving kindness of God. Remember the chesed of God. So he felt safe because he had revelation of the loving kindness of God. So no matter what you and I face, we should always feel safe. Why? Because we know that we have his loving kindness, his chesed. Amen. And then fourthly, David, or to David at least, God's chesed made God's fullness available to him. And so because of that, it made David feel satisfied. Remember, Psalm 36 verse 8, here it is, the first part of verse 8. He said, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. In other words, God took care of them. God provided for them. And so by having the revelation of God's loving kindness, it made David know and understand that he was satisfied, that God would take care of him. Amen. I mean, things happen, life happens, but God will always take care of us. Why? Because we depend on his loving kindness. We depend on his chesed, on his grace. Amen. And then lastly, to David, God's chesed made God's provision available to him. So how did that make him feel? It made him feel fulfilled. And that's another way you can know that you have a revelation of the loving kindness of God, that you live by the loving kindness of God. You feel fulfilled. News may come and go. Situations may happen. Circumstances may change. Sometimes it may be up, sometimes it may be down. But on the inside in general, you feel fulfilled in who you are in Jesus, in who you have in God. Why? Because you have an understanding of his loving kindness, his chesed. Amen. Remember what he said in the second part of verse 8. Here it is here. He said, and you give them drink. In other words, you fulfill them from the river of your pleasures. In other words, they will be fulfilled, because that's what pleasures do. They fulfill you. They make you happy. They make you feel great. Amen. This is why David faced as much as he faced, and yet he always felt like a winner. He always felt like a champion. He always felt, I'm going to get through this. I know that this isn't going to last forever. Things are going to get better. Why? Because he knew that God's loving kindness was with him. I wonder today if you feel that way. I hope that you do. Praise God. You see, David experienced God's chesed time and time again. Most of you are familiar with David's life. He made some serious, horrible, bad decisions and mistakes. But yet, because of God's chesed, he was forgiven for his sins, just like we are. He was protected by God from his enemies. So are we. He was preserved. His life was preserved when he really deserved judgment. So are we. We are preserved, but even though we deserved judgment. Amen. This is why King David said what he said about the loving kindness of God. Because he understood that that's another form of grace. It's chesed. Amen. Praise God. So David treasured God's loving kindness because it was the one constant thing in his life that he could rely on. Praise God. It was, to him, it was greater than human love. Amen. To him, it was stronger than his failures. To him, it was a refuge for everyone who trusted in God. It was a refuge for him because he trusted in God. In actual fact, if you look up that term where he said how precious, how excellent, how valuable, that term actually conveys that he prized it higher than anything else in life. And I'm going to show you that in a moment. I wonder today, do you treasure it more than anything else? Do you treasure the grace of God more than anything else in life. I know that I do. If I look at myself outside of Jesus, I don't deserve any kind of goodness. I deserve judgment. I deserve damnation. I deserve nothing. But praise God for God's grace. I treasure it. I have learned to treasure the grace of God above everything. Because everything that I have in life, all the blessings of God, the people, the things, the provision, it's all because of the grace of God. It's all because of the loving kindness of God, the chesed of God. Amen. Do you feel that way? I hope that you do, because that is so true. Now, David clung to God's chesed because it was unfailing even when he failed. And that's what we need to do. Yes, we'll make mistakes. Yes, we will fail. Yes, we will trip. Yes, we will fall. But we need to cling to his loving kindness, his chesed, his grace, because it is always unfailing. Amen. And I know some people don't like us saying that, but look at King David's life. For him to make such a deep statement, considering everything that he had done and he had been through in his life, you can see the value of it. Because if you look at his life just purely from a legalistic point of view, from the law's point of view, he should have been doomed and damned and done. But yet, God's chesed, God's loving kindness, turned everything around for him. Amen. And that's exactly what he's reminding us here of. Remember King David. He premeditated murder. He stole someone's wife. He made her pregnant. He did so many things to fulfill his own desires. And God eventually sent the prophet Nathan. And look at what King David actually says when he was exposed, when he was put on trial by the prophet in the presence of God. Psalm 51, verse 1. We're going to read the notes that the translators put in, that's in the original, and then the portion of scripture. Okay, so this is Psalm 51, verse 1. It's him writing as well. And it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. That's the woman, the wife that he stole and had her husband killed because he wanted the wife. So basically, this is David wrote this at the point in time when he was exposed, and God basically confronted him for his sin. Look at what King David says and how he responds. He says, have mercy upon me, O God. Now look at the next statement. According to your loving kindness. It's the same word chesed. In other words, according to your grace. That's how he knew it. That's how he knew the grace of God, as chesed, as the loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. So at the worst of time in his life, when the very creator of the universe himself confronted David about the worst of things that he had done, David could have accepted damnation, could have accepted judgment. He could have accepted anything else. But what did he do? He turned to the loving kindness of God. He appealed to the chesed of God. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me because of your chesed, because of your grace, because of your loving kindness. And we know the rest of the story. God forgave him. He still saw the consequence of his decisions and his sin. But even through that, God saw him through it. Amen. It's pretty powerful. God, that's why, I mean, this gives us a little glimpse as far as why King David valued God's loving kindness so much. Now, here's the other beautiful thing, for us at least anyway. What David experienced was a type and a shadow of the grace of God. It was basically, well, the type and shadow, there's no other way to put it. We get to experience the real in Jesus. You see, Jesus is our direct connection to God's loving kindness, to God's grace, to God's chesed. Amen. We don't have to live in a type and shadow. We get to live in the real. And look at what the type and shadow did for David. It was so potent, so powerful. It gave him hope. It fulfilled him. It protected him. It gave him satisfaction. And that was the type and shadow. How much more is there for us in Jesus? Amen. You see, David experienced chesed as a promise. We experience it as a person who is Jesus. Is someone listening today? We get to experience the real. He experienced the shadow, the promise. Let me show you this. Exodus 34 verse 6. This is talking about Moses and God. Okay? But this describes to us what people in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, experienced as grace. It says there, "And the Lord passed by before him," that's Moses, "and proclaimed," watch this, this is God saying these things about himself, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant," watch this, "in goodness and truth." And I submit to you today that that word goodness that you see right there is actually the word chesed. So they should have translated that as an abundant in loving kindness and truth, in chesed and truth, in grace and truth. Honestly, at the end of the day, that's how it should be, because it's the exact same word that was used there. So basically, this is when God obviously gave the law to Moses and the whole time of relating to God by law began. And God reveals to Moses, because Moses wanted to see God. And he said, "Okay, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to cover you with my hand, but you are going to see my back." And as he passed by him, he said, "The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in chesed, in loving kindness and truth." Okay? Now, we fast forward all the way to the Apostle John. And John, in the portion that I'm about to show you, actually points to the portion we just read in Exodus 34 verse 6 to show us the truth about Jesus, the grace of God, which is the old covenant loving kindness of God, and it still is, and how they experienced it as a type and shadow, as a promise, because that's what God did with Moses. He was making that promise. And David lived by that promise. John actually takes that promise and shows us how we actually live in the real now. Look at this in John 1 verse 17 from the King James. John says here, "For the law was given by Moses." Watch this now. "But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." You see, the law was given, but Jesus, the grace and truth came. Now that word grace is the word charis, which is the equivalent of the word chesed. And look at the phrase that he uses. It's the exact same phrase that God said when he showed himself to Moses. Remember, he said, "I am abundant in chesed and truth, in grace and truth." Well, John shows us here that it's actually grace, because he literally quotes Exodus 34 verse 6, but he puts in the right meaning of the word, which in the Old Testament is loving kindness, chesed, and he says, "But grace and truth came by Jesus." And what John is doing with this statement is that he is showing us that the people of the Old Covenant live by a type and shadow of it. You and I get to live in the real. We get to see it and experience it as a person. I trust that that made sense and that you saw that. It is so powerful. When I saw that, I was like, wow, this is awesome. Because I've read that portion so many times and I've never really connected it to Exodus 34 verse 6 until now. Because God literally made that statement with the word chesed in it in the Hebrew, and John took it and put the Greek word charis in it, but literally quoted it. And there he's showing us that is Jesus. It's the very person of Jesus. So they experience that as a promise. We experience it in the person of Jesus. So when we receive salvation in Jesus, it becomes a reality to us. We live in the fullness of it. Not just the promise, but the actuality of it. Amen. You see, in other words, Jesus is the living expression of God's loving kindness. That's another way you can put what John was saying. He was saying that Jesus is actually the living expression of the chesed of God, of the loving kindness of God, of the grace of God. In other words, David experienced that as a promise. You get to experience that as a reality because the person came to bring that to you. And as he is in you, so it is in you. Amen. Let me give an illustration to help us understand that. The difference between how David experienced loving kindness and how you and I experience the loving kindness of God. At this point, you may be saying, Pastor Marco, it's a Sunday morning. You're speaking like a theologian. It's a lot to take in. I'm still trying to understand it. Don't worry about it. I'm about to share an illustration with you that will bring it all home. And you need to know this because you live in something more powerful than David did. And if that's what the shadow did for David, imagine what it will do for you as you put your trust and confidence in it. Amen. You know, in our early years when Helene and I were dating, this is before we were married. We were boyfriend and girlfriend. Eventually, we decided to become, what do they say now these days, exclusive. So, you know, it was just me and her, and we weren't going to see other people. We weren't going to engage with anybody else. But at the same time, I had gotten a job an hour and a half away from the town where we both had lived and where she still lived. So I had to move. I had to take all my stuff and I had to move to this new place of employment. I got to live with my older sister there. She needed me there for a time and I was there and for the best that I could. But it was an hour and a half's drive from where Helena was to where I would now be. And so imagine, 1.5 hours one way. So it's a 3-hour trip. It would be a 3-hour trip if I made it every day. And in those times, maybe today people do it without hesitation. I still couldn't do it. I couldn't drive 1.5 hours one way every day and then 1.5 hours back. And so I just wasn't going to, financially, I couldn't do it either. And so what would happen is that I would come home on the weekends. So Friday night, I would get in my little car and I would drive 1.5 hours and I would go stay by my parents or by my sister or somebody so that I could spend the weekend with my girlfriend, Helena. And I could make the best out of it. And then Sunday night, as tired as I was, as worn out as I was, and as much as I didn't want to leave her and leave, you know, where everybody was, I had to do it because I had to be at work the next morning. And I still had to get myself, then I didn't want to get home too late. I wanted to get some good sleep. So Sunday evening, Sunday night, we would stretch it as far as we could. And then eventually we realized it's getting too late. I need to leave. And I would go and drive for 1.5 hours. And so we would do this week in, week out for, I think we did it for 1.5 years, maybe 2 years. And it was hard. It was tough. It was tough in every possible way. And then during the week, what we would do when we couldn't see each other, when we couldn't be by each other, we would obviously phone. There was no such thing as cell phones. We couldn't text each other because there was no such thing as text. That's how old we are. There was no text. There was no cell phones. There was no email. There was no video chat. There was no apps. There was no internet as we know it today. The best we could do, there was no email. The best we could do is write each other letters and mail it, snail mail, mail it, post it to each other. And so if we did it at the beginning of the week, we would get each other's letters by the end of the week. And we would get to read it and be encouraged by it. And, you know, you could smell the person's scent on it. And so that's the way that we would make each other. We would comfort each other, make each other feel like we were with each other and by each other. And then occasionally, when I had enough finances as a young man, I would go and, you know, buy a bouquet via telephone. I'm talking about the wired phones that were still plugged in the wall. And I would find a florist nearby and I would place an order and pay an arm and a leg and it would be delivered to her. Otherwise, what I would do is I would go to the nearest post office in my town and I would send a telegram. And it was very expensive because you paid for each word, each letter. But I would save up so that I could send her a telegram just to say, hey, I love you, I miss you. And she would get that in 2 days. And so, you know, she still has those. We still have a lot of those memories with us. But that's the kind of thing that we would do. And so the reason why we would do that is because we couldn't be with each other in person during the week. And so the way we compensated is by sending each other letters, telegrams, and the things that most of the young generation don't even know about now. You'll probably find those in a museum somewhere. This is how people communicated in the 80s. So, but anyway, and so what I'm trying to say to you is that when Helene and I were together on the weekends, we had the real with each other. We could actually experience the real person. We could hug each other. We could kiss each other. We could hold each other. You experienced the real. But then during the week, we experienced the shadow, the letters, the telegrams, the flowers, the phone calls, etc. That was all the shadow. It was not the real. It was good. It was great. And we were grateful for it. But we always yearned and longed to be with each other in person. Are you with me? You see, this is what this is showing us here. That's what I've shown you here today. David got to live in the letters, the telegrams, the phone calls, the flowers of the loving kindness of God. He never really got to live in the real. But you and I have Jesus on the inside of us. When we receive salvation, we receive Him. So we get to live in the real. We don't have to depend on letters, on telegrams, on the types and shadows. We get to enjoy the real and have the real. And this is what God is saying to you and me today. You don't have to see the loving kindness of God, the chesed of God, the grace of God. Don't see it as something that is there conditional, that is there as some form of. No. You've got it all. It is completely, it is real. It is with you all the time, 100% of the time. Therefore, look at what David experienced with the shadow, with the types and shadows. You have the real so much more. In other words, my loving kindness can move for you in such a more and powerful and mighty way. And did it move for David in such an awesome way? Sure, he did. You and I can have more than that. Isn't it powerful? You see, this is what I'm trying to bring across to you. And you know, to show you how David felt, and this was the type and shadow. This wasn't the real. You and I have the real. But look at how David felt about it. Imagine how we ought to feel about it if we don't already. Look at what he says in Psalm 63, verse 3. This is powerful. He says, because your loving kindness, that's chesed, it's the word chesed. So David again is talking to God. And he says, because of your chesed, in other words, your grace, your loving kindness, watch this, is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Look at that statement real clearly and real powerfully. What David is basically saying there is your loving kindness means more to me than life itself. Do you disagree with that? You can't disagree. You have to agree with me because he just said it. He says, your loving kindness, God, your chesed, which is the old covenant grace. He says, your chesed is better than life to me. In other words, what he's saying is that if I have to die, fine, let it be so. But what I want to keep with me eternally is your loving kindness, is your grace, is your chesed. How strong do you think David felt about the chesed of God, the loving kindness of God? Real strong, wouldn't you agree? Well, how much more should we? Because that's truly what it does for us. You see, and here's the powerful thing as we come to an ending here, okay? when David wrote that statement where he said, "Your loving kindness is better than life," David wrote that when he was in the wilderness running from his son Absalom, who wanted to kill him and take over the throne. He was being chased by his enemies, and he literally had a handful of people that were loyal and faithful to him, and he didn't know what would happen to him. He knew that his life was on the line. He could have been killed any time, and yet he writes the psalm and he says, "God, because of your loving kindness, because of your chesed," in other words, because of your grace, because it is better than life itself. In other words, even if I lose my life, I still value your chesed more than that. He says, "But because of that, I'm going to praise you." In other words, what David was saying is that even though all of these things are happening to me because of what I've done, even though this is happening to me unjustly in some ways, I know that your loving kindness is there for me, and I value it more than life itself. So I know that I'm going to be okay. You see, he understood that life is temporal, but chesed is eternal. He knew that. That's why he valued it more than life. And so God's chesed is something that nothing and no one can take away from you. And David knew that. That's why he loved it. He valued it more than life. Amen. And so I want to encourage you today. I want to remind you today. Chesed, loving kindness, which is really the grace of God, is something that nothing and no one can ever take away from you. And when you find yourself in peril, in need, in distress, in whatever situation, do what David did. "Father, your loving kindness is better than life. And I know that you'll see me through this because I have your loving kindness." David had it as a shadow, and look at what you did for him. "I have the real. How much more will you do for me?" I sense the anointing as I say that, because somebody's been going through something, and God basically has just spoken to you through my mouth and told you, "My loving kindness is there. Watch how things are going to change for you. Keep your eye on me. Keep trusting me in Jesus' name." Amen. So I want to encourage you today. Live in it, live by it, and stay in it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God for his loving kindness. And then, of course, before we close and pray a blessing over you, wonderful saints, I want to remind you that it is your generosity that makes it possible for us to continue doing what we do. Amen. That's, of course, primarily focused on teaching the Word of God, teaching gospel truth. And I'm not saying we've arrived, but I'd like to think that we've at least taken off. And so people need to hear gospel truth. They need to hear the good news. Amen. They don't need to hear judgment. They don't need to hear, you know, messages on sin and be reminded of who they were in Adam. No, they need to be reminded and told who they are in Jesus. And that's how we get the victory. Amen. So thank you for making it possible. Remember, you can go to newcreationchurchsa.com/give. It is safe. It is secure. There's also a QR code right here, which you can scan on your device, and it will take you right there. It is safe. It is secure. So we appreciate your wonderful generosity. We appreciate your support. And you know, as I always say, one life changed, one person's life just being impacted by gospel truth is worth everything in the whole world. God himself feels that way. Amen. And so thank you for investing in the things of the eternal. Praise God. You know, one thing that we don't like to do here at New Creation Church is try and use manipulation tactics, try and use extortion tactics to try and squeeze every little bit out of you. No, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a giver who gives from the heart. We are those who get to give. We don't have to give. We get to give. Amen. And God receives that so much more, and he blesses you abundantly in return in Jesus' name. So thank you for doing that, and may the harvest of your seed just be so abundant upon you in Jesus' name. Praise God.
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.